Thank you.
All right, I got to magnetize this here, okay? I got some magnets on here. Hopefully it will stay. If it doesn't, the message will be a lot shorter than what I originally had predicted, which might be good for everybody else. So, hey, a number of years ago, in December of 1997, in fact, it was the 20th of December of 1997, it was an important day in my life. I stood in front of God, and I stood in front of a preacher, and I stood with Jill, and that was the day that we exchanged our vows. That was the day where the preacher led us and said, hey, do you want to marry this woman? Will you take this woman in for better, for worse, richer, for poor, in sickness and in health? Will you do that? And I said, I will. And then he turned to her and asked her the same questions. I think a lot of the people in the congregation were convinced she was going to say no, but she said yes. And one of the things that we did was we exchanged a ring. And I still have that ring. And fortunately, because I haven't lost it, I've been known to lose quite a few things in my life. But I still have the ring, and she still has her ring. And the thing about this ring is that the ring doesn't make me married. In fact, I've taken this ring off. If someone were to wrestle me to the ground and take this ring from me and put it on their finger, it's simply a symbol. They wouldn't be married to Jill. I still am. But this ring shows the world. It's a testimony to the world that we are married. That day, December 20th, 1997, happened. It tells everybody around me that on that day, I made an important commitment. You know, baptism is kind of like that. Baptism is not what saves you from your sins. Baptism is what shows the world around you that you have been saved from your sins. And Benjamin and I have talked about this, and he understands that Jesus gave his life for him and that the baptism doesn't save him. It's not a work that he can do to gain salvation, but it's something that shows the world around him that he has been saved. I want to take you through a few different scriptures. The first one is in Matthew chapter 3, and I'll be looking at verse 13 through 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 and 17. This is the first baptism that happened in the Christian sense of the word, where Jesus was baptized. I want to read this to you real quick, give you a couple of little things from it, and then we'll move on. We've got a couple passages today. But Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 says this: Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, but do you come to me? In other words, Jesus is coming to be baptized by John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, you got this wrong, Jesus. You should be baptizing me. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior of the world. Why is it that you're coming to me? I should be coming to you to be baptized. And Jesus is going to give us this example of what baptism does in our life. He says this: Jesus answered him and said, Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for all of us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. In other words, Jesus says, hey, look, when you know God is your Savior, the right thing to do, the thing that we should be doing, is we should be being baptized. And Jesus says, look, I am going to be the example for all other Christians to follow, that when they get to know God through me, that they should be baptized. Okay? Interesting thing happened in this situation. In verse 16, it says, After being baptized, Jesus came up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, a couple things that are very interesting here. The first one, in Matthew chapter 3, what we see is the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three of them are interacting in this one passage. Okay? This is a great verse to take people to that don't believe that there's a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? But we see Jesus being baptized. We see the Spirit coming out of heaven in the form of a dove and landing upon Jesus. And then we hear this voice from heaven, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think that voice sounded like? Was that, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased"? Or was it a little bigger than that? A little bit prouder than that? A little bit more majestic than that? Okay? Couple things I'd like to point out in this verse. We have the word baptize here. And by the way, Ocean View Baptist Church, we believe in baptism. So much so that it's our middle name. Okay? Baptism, the word here, baptized, is a Greek word. It's transliterated from the Greek, and the Greek word is baptizo. When they decided to write the King James Version of the Bible, when they were writing it, they took this word, baptizo, and they didn't want to change it, so they just changed its pronunciation a little bit and changed it to the word baptize. The word literally means to immerse, okay? When we look at the Bible, we never see anywhere in the Bible where people are sprinkled upon or where they're poured upon. What we see is we see the immersion of people. In fact, when people would take fabric, there's a woman named Lydia in the book of Acts, and she would take fabric and dye it purple. And she would baptize that fabric. Okay? And the way she would do that would she would take that fabric and she would immerse it in a purple liquid and hold it under until the color had changed and then bring it back out of. Okay? The same is true about baptism. Okay? To be baptized means that we are identified with Jesus. Okay? Here's some questions that I think are important to ask people who want to be baptized. Here's the first one. Have you decided to follow Jesus and never turn back? If you can answer that question, yes, we go to the next question. Do you know that Jesus has forgiven all of your sins? Isn't that a problem amongst some people within our church and churches around the country, where they don't realize that God has taken every sin from them and separated it as far as the east is from the west? If they can answer that question, they're asked a third question. Are you willing to follow Jesus even if you're mocked or hurt or killed? If you can answer yes to those three questions, you are a candidate for baptism. Okay? There's another place in the Bible that talks about baptism. In fact, there's a lot of places, but Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Let me read those to you. Romans chapter 6, I'm sorry, 1 through 11, it says this. What shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? Okay? The Apostle Paul is asking the question. There's these people that were saying, and it's true, if we sin, God's grace covers that sin. And so there were people in Rome that were saying, hey, we should just go sin and sin and sin and sin and do it some more and some more and some more. We should just keep sinning because then God's grace keeps coming and God's grace keeps coming and God's grace keeps coming. So Paul is asking this question. He says, shall we continue to sin so that grace may increase, so that it will get bigger and bigger and bigger? And then he gives us the answer in verse 2. He says, may it never be. No. We shouldn't sin just to get God's grace. He said, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Hey, look, one of the things that baptism shows us is that when we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, we died to our sin. Our sin no longer has control over us. Our sin isn't able to have its way in our life anymore. Let's keep going. Verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order to save our body of sin, that it might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he has died to free us from sin. I want to show you kind of the picture of baptism real quick. And a couple of things that we learn from this passage and from baptism. Once you're baptized, you can never be unbaptized. Okay? Once you're baptized, you can never be unbaptized. Once you're baptized, always baptized. The same is true about salvation. That once God saves you, you can never be unsaved. You are always safe and you are always secure in the hands of God who has saved you. And baptism is a picture of that. That once I know Jesus, he never goes away. Okay? The second one is this. That baptism is a reminder that God will never leave us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this, "Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you." Hey, it's interesting. The I in that verse, "never will I leave you," is God. And the you in that verse is you and I. In fact, the King James says, "I will never leave you." Okay? I will never leave you. Hey, look, we can take and put our name in the place of you, and we can take the name of God and put it there in the I. God will never leave Tim. Hey, I want you to do that with me. I want you to put your hand up just like this. And when we get to the thumb, I want you to grab the thumb. I want you to point to your chest. And I want you to say your name. Okay? Now, don't be a smart aleck and say, "God will never leave your name." Okay? Don't do that. Say your name and point to yourself. Okay? Here we go. God will never leave Tim. You got it? All right. Now, Keikis, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you wonder if God will ever leave you, you can do that right there. God will never leave. And say your name. You know, there was a young lady that I knew. Well, she's not young anymore, but she was in college when I was in college. And she was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. And she was a missionary kid. And she lived in Colombia. And in those days, Colombia was getting pretty dangerous. And at one point, a car stopped and tried to pull her into the car. They tried to kidnap her and take her away from her parents. Another point in her life, she was playing with her Barbies in the garage, and a car drove by, and the door of the car opened up, and gunfire came out of that door in her direction. And when her mom and dad got to her, they found her sitting on the floor crying with bullet holes on either side of her and all around her. But she was not. And one night they had bars in front of her bedroom window, and a man was trying to get through the bars to get in and take her from her parents. And so eventually they had to leave. But you could imagine that she was very nervous and very scared. And her dad taught her this memory verse and this little trick. And at night, when she was lying in bed, she would say, "God will never leave Amy." And her dad said that oftentimes he would go into her room to make sure she was okay, and he'd find her asleep, pointing at her chest. Okay? Now that's an amazing truth that this little symbol of baptism teaches you and I, that God will never leave us. He won't let us go. Another thing that's interesting is when you see a baptism, what happens is you take the individual who's being baptized and you say, you push him down into the water and you say, "Buried with Christ." And then you pull them up and you say, "Raised to walk in newness of life." And can you see the picture from that where we see Jesus who hung on a cross and Jesus died for our sins and he was buried? Okay? But Jesus didn't stay buried. He rose from the dead and now he lives inside of you and I if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So baptism shows us that we're buried with Christ. Now, what part of us is buried with Christ? If you are listening to Romans chapter 6, our sin is buried with Christ. Okay? When Jesus died on the cross, he took the sin of you and I upon him. And when he died, that sin was done away with, and it was buried, and it was put away. Look, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, baptism tells you that you are dead to sin. That sin no longer has reign over your body. Okay? But not only does it show us that your sin is dead and done away with, and it's been put to death, but you've been raised to walk in newness of life. That means that you and I have the freedom to do what is right. Before we know Jesus, we had no ability to not sin. We were consumed by it. We were trapped by it. If we are to die in it, we die and live in hell for all eternity. But Jesus came. He lived a perfect life. He died on that cross. When you and I accept him, our sins are buried. And now we have the freedom to do what's right. We don't have to be subject to sin any longer. And that's Paul's point. Should we continue to sin? Should we just, do we just want more grace? Give us more grace. He's like, no, don't you get it? Don't you get it? Jesus gives you the opportunity to live in freedom. Why would you put yourself back in slavery? Right? And baptism shows us that. It's this powerful example of how Jesus died and came back to life. Okay? Now, I'm going to go off and say the Bible teaches us that believers are the ones that need to be baptized. You can look through the book of Acts. You see over and over and over again that it's believers that are baptized, not infants. Okay? That once we know Jesus, the first commandment for us to walk in obedience with Christ is to be baptized. Okay? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, his first response that he wants from you is the obedience of baptism. Okay? And then finally, in Matthew 28, it's the Great Commission. The Great Commission tells us this. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Hey, the job of believers, after we know Jesus, we are put on a mission. And that mission is to tell people about Jesus, to win them for Jesus, to baptize them for Jesus, to disciple them for Jesus, and then send them out for Jesus. Okay? Benjamin, one of the great things that you're doing today is you are following in the example of Jesus. You're following him. You've recognized your need for a Savior, and you've called upon him to save you. And the Bible tells us that when we call upon the name of the Lord, that he responds to us. Now, I want to know this. I know that in a crowd like this, not everyone could have given their life to Jesus. That there are some here today who are going to see this symbol of baptism, and maybe before you came, you didn't understand. And may God's Spirit open your heart to this fact that you and I are sinners and that we are in need of a Savior. And just like Jesus was buried and he came back to life, he empowers you and I to do that same thing. That when we put our trust and faith in him, that he will come into our hearts and that he will separate our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. It's an act of the will. When I stood in front of a congregation and made this decision about marriage, I said yes to my wife. But when I said yes to her, I said no to all others. I didn't say yes for one day. I said yes today, yes tomorrow, yes for the next day, yes for the future. Till death do us part, I have said yes to her. And by me saying yes to her, I've said no to everybody else. The same is true with Jesus. That when we say yes, we say one big yes. But every day is a follow-up yes, isn't it? Maybe today is your day to say yes to Jesus. And you need to pray a prayer that sounds something like this. Lord, I understand that it's an act of my will. And I understand that I have sinned against God. And I understand that Jesus came to pay the penalty for my sin. And I call upon you to be the Lord of my life. If you're here and you need to pray that prayer, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me? If you're here today and you've never prayed that and today is your day, can you pray these words in the silence of your own heart after me? Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that He rose 3 days later. And I call upon you to be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your heads bowed. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for this symbol of baptism. We thank you that it shows us who we are and who you are. We thank you that it shows your promise to us that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, that you will never go away, that you have come and you have separated our sins as far as the east is from the west. And Father, we just ask that you will help us to live our lives believing that in our hearts with our actions. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.